Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online at sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're listening to the podcasts app. You can subscribe and listen to the show with your podcast app on your iPhone now. So just go to your app store, download the podcast app, and you can listen to the show and get it delivered each week. Very, very simple. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Joe Henry. Now, I know we talk to Joe Henry every week from Lake of the Woods, but this week we got a very interesting topic to discuss because if frequent listeners to the show, you've probably heard us talk about it. Lake of the Woods is discussing some potential changes, their proposed rule changes involving some limits in the spring and some limits in the summer, things like that. There's been a process that changes like this have to go through. Some people are up in arms about it a little bit. We'll explain what the situation is. We'll talk about why some people are upset about it. We'll address some of their complaints, and we'll talk to Joe all about what's happening on Lake of the Woods coming up later in the show. We'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We'll also talk to Dan Nelson. He has got a bow fishing tournament that's taking place this weekend. We're going to start with Jamie Dittman here in just a second. And of course, this week's show brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. We'll try to check in with Lucas Mertens, too, up there on Devil's Lake and get a fishing report. Haybaleheights.com by Lake of the Woods Tourism. You want to book a trip up to Lake of the Woods or find out what's going on with these proposed changes, check out Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau on Facebook or lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Also by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota around that Lac La Parle area starting, and dove hunts too at the beginning of September. We'll start guiding for doves on September 1st. And of course by Prairie Sportsman. Check out prairiesportsman.org. All right, let's head up to that Brainerd Lakes area where we've got ample opportunities for listeners in that area to check out this show, from Brainerd to Aiken to Wadena, Walker, Bemidji. Jamie Dittman is a guide up in that area and beyond, and he joins us on the show right now. Jamie, how are things?
Very good.
Thanks for being on the show. I know you're coming with me to Tazen Lake here at the end of the month, and I know people are probably sick of hearing us. Are your friends as sick of you talking about it as my friends are?
I think I'm starting to see people unfriend me on Facebook because of it.
Gosh. It's such a cool place. We're spending 2 weeks up there in northwestern Saskatchewan this year with Trevor Montgomery and the crew up at Tazen Lake Lodge. Man, it's just an unbelievable trip. You know, I caught a fish up there, Laker, 56 pounds-ish 2 years ago. Jamie, last year you caught one over 50 pounds. I mean, there's never a guarantee. Right? There's never a guarantee in hunting or fishing, and anyone that runs any sort of guided service or outfitting type service, you're never, ever going to guarantee anything. But can you think of a better place to go to catch a 50-plus pound lake trout, Jamie?
No, I mean, everybody has good days and bad days, whether it's hunting or fishing, and you can be on them one day and not the next. But
for sure,
even the slowest day that we've had at Tazen is so many steps above any other lake trout destination that
it's crazy.
You blink at a 10 pounder, it's like, ah.
Right. And there are other good lake trout destinations. There are other lakes where you can go up and catch big fish, of course. But this lake is unique because it's smaller than some of those big ocean-sized bodies of water. So when the wind kicks up on Tazen, you can still fish and get out of the wind. You're not blown off the lake by 10-foot rollers like you are on some of these other just gigantic bodies of water. There's a big island in the middle of Tazen. You can fish there. It's a 7-day trip. The fishing, I hate to say it, but sometimes that pike fishing, I enjoy the pike fishing up there. I don't want to say more, but sometimes I enjoy it a little bit more because that pike fishing is unbelievable. And I know you can go a lot of places and catch big pike. But, man, big pike, sight fishing, big lake trout, and Jamie, the food.
Yes. And, you know, even on the windiest day that we had in a 16-foot boat, it was still never uncomfortable. And like you said, there's never any wind to worry about.
Yeah. And we fished.
The uncomfortable part was from eating too much.
Right. I ate food up there that I would not eat down here. It was so good. There's Chef Steve Driver up there. And he made a salad. And I was like, look, man, I'm not a big salad guy. I don't really do salads. And he's like, well, I won't make. I'm like, you know what? Put it in front of me. Let's see what happens.
Then he went and put bacon in it.
Well, yeah, you got to have bacon, right? I mean, it was delicious. I ate the whole thing. I've eaten so much food up there that I would not want to eat down here because he just makes it all taste good. He's so good at it. So we're going up there. There's available dates. It's a bucket list trip. It's a 7-day trip. TazinLake.com has got all the info if you want to go up there. Of course, you're going to hear us talk about it more in the coming weeks. Now, Jamie, we probably should talk about some other things going on, like how's fishing around Brainerd right now?
You know, the walleye fishing's been picking up slowly but surely on the smaller lakes. The bass has been great. Mille Lacs has been off to a killer year.
No.
Huge weights for the tournaments. You know, what it take, 44, 45 pounds to win tournament last weekend.
What tournament was that?
The MTT and the AIM.
Oh, so walleye tournaments. So they're catching.
Yep, so they're all having catch and release tournaments now.
Okay.
So your 6 biggest fish.
I'm surprised they're allowed to have tournaments on there. I mean, it's catch and release, of course, in tournaments, but I'm surprised that they'd allow tournaments. Maybe this is a discussion for another show, but that just surprised me.
Well, it's catch, photo, release, so it's really not any different than catching one and taking a picture of it.
I understand that, but you know what happens when people complain about the pressure that tournaments put on a lake, and you just think if Mille Lacs is in such peril and such susceptible to overfishing that you wouldn't necessarily see tournaments like that, for walleye tournaments anyway. Now, we all know smallmouth bass fishing is unbelievable, and they've been catching big smallies up there too, but I'm surprised about the walleye tournaments.
No, that's if there's no walleyes in Mille Lacs. You know, I tend to see a little difference there, man. When I'm catching eaters and 27s and 18s, and all fat, good-looking fish.
That was my next question: is how fat are they? You know, are they eating?
You know, they're very comparable to Lake of the Woods walleyes right now.
Huh?
You know, they're fat, healthy fish. I mean, they're good weights. The 18 inchers are plump. They're not them skinny 18s like you get on some of the lakes. I mean, very well-fed fish.
I don't even know what to say about Mille Lacs right now. I don't even know. I mean, do you think it's going to change? Do you think it's going to stay the same like this? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, for the peoples that live around their sakes and the resort's sakes, they got to open it up to a fish. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with having it one fish this year. One fish is a meal.
Yeah.
One fish is great, you know, and that would bring a whole new group of people there, because now the only people there are people that just absolutely love to catch fish.
Yeah, one fish is great for me. I mean, I live by myself, but I'll tell you what, one fish is a great meal for me.
Yeah, 18-inch fish a person is all you need, and that would help so much.
I got it.
And, you know, who doesn't like a walleye fish fry?
Right. And an 18-inch fish, man, you add some potatoes and some baked beans and some sides, and you could feed 2 people, you know, with an 18-inch fish, really.
Yeah. So they just got to throw the business around there a bone, you know. It's just, it's sad to see the glory days of Mille Lacs when I used to go there with my dad, and there was hundreds of people at the resorts every night and parties and everybody going at dark bobber fishing and just fun times, to now it's just like a ghost town.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. Like I said, I don't even know. I mean, this is a discussion for another show, because we go on and on. I don't even know what to say about Mille Lacs right now.
Bass is still great out there. You know, they're starting to move off the beds, move a little deeper. We have a tournament out there Sunday for the Brainerd fishing team for a TBF bass tournament, a state qualifier.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll see the kids come in with some big bags of fish.
And this weekend, Camp Confidence.
Camp Confidence on Gull Lake is Saturday. We still got a couple openings, I guess, maybe. But that's kind of our tradition. And got a bunch of guys coming from out of town to help me out and guide. And, you know, we all have a good time, you know, supporting camp. Great cause, of course.
I love those guys up there. Such a cool place and such a great crew that runs that operation up there. And I wish I was going to be a part of it again. And I wish you luck there this weekend, Jamie.
It should be fun, you know, and busy until we leave. We have that. And then there is a tournament coming up, a classic bass on Gull Lake. And something new with that. So that's a catch photo, kind of like a total pounds. So as many bass as you catch, you weigh them all.
Okay.
And we're having student anglers in the boats to be the judges.
Oh, cool.
So they get to hop in the boat and learn a little bit something from the pros.
Very nice. Very nice. When do you know when that tournament is?
And that one is it June or July 20th? I can't remember. July 20th, I believe.
All right. Well, probably somebody could probably do a little quick Google search for Classic Bass and Gull Lake and find out that information out. All right.
But also, one more cool thing about tournaments, if you have a nonprofit or something that you want to do and you want to have a tournament, I just got done doing a trailer for Classic Bass. And what they're doing is if you want to put on a tournament, they'll come and run it for you. The weigh-in, do the stage, you know, and you good way to raise money for good causes, you know.
Heck yeah. All right. Well, where can somebody get a hold of you if they maybe if they want you to letter up a van or a trailer or something like that? Or if they want
to go fishing
or go fishing, of course, too, and do some go on a guided trip with you, Jamie. How do they get a hold of you?
You can check out S&W Guide Service on Facebook or call S&W Bait Shop and ask for Jamie.
Very cool. Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cannot wait to go to Tazen Lake here in a couple of weeks. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Doug Lear. We got Joe Henry, and we got a bow fishing tournament to tell you about next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're back on Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. You can download the podcasts app and get the show delivered right to your iPhone. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors. We're going to talk bow fishing now with Dan Nelson from the Alberta Wildlife Federation here on Sporting Journal Radio. And some people listening right now are going, man, I didn't realize he's going to talk about this, these guys in Canada. But no, we're talking about Western Minnesota, of course, Alberta. Dan, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Some of our listeners might not know where Alberta is, Dan.
We're on that western part of Minnesota, right in the hump. A lot of people might know the Alexandria area. If you're out fishing a lot, there's a lot of lakes around there. We're just southwest of there, 45 minutes.
Sure, for sure. All right, so what is the Alberta Wildlife Federation? What do you guys do?
The Alberta Wildlife Federation, it's been going on for a long time. My dad was in it and stuff. We do a few events a year. We've been trying to work more and more into them. Now that we're getting a new, younger group, more motivated. Every year we get a fish fry that goes on, usually during Lent we'll do that. It's a good community thing. It brings everybody together. We actually have a lot of volunteers. I think we have around 45 volunteers that come back, and a lot of them actually are ones that, you know, this is one of the only times they come back. You know, it's a good environment to be around, raising money. We send a lot of money towards our high school elementary kids to send them up to Four Corn Camp, which is up north.
Cool.
Support, we got a trap league that comes around now that's gotten really big in the last 4 years. We got actually some kids competing today down at state right now for trap shooting.
Sure.
And stuff like that. The bow fishing tournament, though, this will be our third annual.
Yeah, and that's taking place this weekend. And Dan, we just wanted to mention, you know, stations carry the show at different times. So if you're listening to the show on Saturday morning before 10 a.m., you still have a crack at being a part of this, because registration is Saturday, June 16th from 10 a.m. to noon. Right, Dan?
Yes, correct. At Lake Hattie, which is south of Alberta. Yep.
All right. And then tell us who's it for and why are you doing it?
It's just straight for the Alberta Wildlife, raising money. And we're not trying to take a whole big profit off of it. We're just trying to help the community out, get some of these carps out of our little small lakes that are kind of getting infested more by carp than walleyes and everybody, other fish that people are trying to get.
For sure.
So a lot of it goes back. It's on our flyer and stuff. It's 600 guaranteed, and we're actually paying back 80% of the entry fees towards everybody that's in there. So, it's not a big moneymaker for us. We're just trying to clean the lakes around our area.
Sure. So. And so people listening right now saying, hey, I like to bow fish. This is a good tournament for them because of that 80% payback, right?
Yeah, that's one of our we have one guy in our organization. Me and him started it 3 years ago and stuff. He's a little more into it than I am. But, yeah, that's one of the things we try to motivate people to come to us, that we're guaranteeing $600 for the three categories. So it might be rainy in your area, but hey, it might be fewer people at the tournament, better chance of winning $600 or more.
Sure, and any legal water in Minnesota is open to shoe, right?
Yes, and I see on our flyer here, last year we had border waters count because we got Big Stone and Travers right alongside and stuff. We have been counting them in and stuff because we do have some people come from the edge of Minnesota for us.
So Big Stone and Travers would be all right.
Yep. Any border water is totally fine. Yep. Okay.
All right. $50 per team and 4 people per team?
Yep, max. I mean, you can have under 4. We have people that come in and it's just a husband and wife out fishing, having a good time on Father's Day weekend. So.
Sure. Well, tell us about Dan Nelson, our guest here from the Alberta Wildlife Federation, talking about a bow fishing tournament taking place this weekend. Registration Saturday, June 16, 10 a.m. to noon at Lake Hattie. So apologize if you listen to the show after that. But if people want to be a part of it, $600 guaranteed payout, $50 per team, and then you got some big fish categories?
Yeah, we got biggest 6 for payout. We also, the other category is most fish, and also our biggest one.
All right.
And there's been talk about putting the smallest one in and stuff. We have some guys that like to joke around and get as small as one they can, and maybe one of these years we'll have to throw that in.
Oh, man, so, yeah, trying to hit one of those little bullheads, that's always part of the fun when you go
out. Yeah, there's guys that bring them in, but they bring them in just for the count and stuff. So.
All right, so most fish, biggest 6 fish, and then the biggest fish. And generally you're probably looking at a buffalo, I'm assuming, or maybe a big common, but probably a buff for that biggest fish.
Yeah, I'd say buffalo are usually our biggest ones brought in, but you never know around these lakes. They don't get hit that often. They got a big chance of growing big in our lakes around here.
My gosh, we have shot some giant carp around here. You know, we'll see, you know, a lot of them, it's when during the spawn, you know, obviously they're a little bit bigger, so we'll see how big they still are, but there are definitely some big carp out there too, and some big buffs. And then okay, so how does that work? Any lake, you register between 10 a.m. and noon, and then you can go start shooting.
And the reason we started at at noon is we've been trying to get younger kids involved. And these younger kids, they don't necessarily have the money to go get a boat with lights. We got a lot of kids around here. They haven't entered in the tournament yet. I don't know if the word hasn't got out or what, but some of our teams still do it. But they'll go, we're legal now to put them in the streams and stuff. We got kids that go out all week and shoot them in the ditches coming out of fields and stuff. So we're trying to get the youth involved, not saying that you need a boat to compete, because there's a lot of big carp that just come through a ditch that a kid could win big money for.
So you could shoot from shore if you wanted to.
Yeah, you don't have to be in a boat. You know, we're just trying to get people out there to have fun. So.
Okay, so rules at 11:45, takeoff is at noon. So from noon until weigh-in, and weigh-in is the next morning between 10 a.m. and noon, Sunday, June 17th?
Yep. Sure is.
So how's that work? Could you shoot up until noon on Sunday, or do you got to be done at 10 a.m.?
No, as long as you are at our Hattie Access at noon or slightly before, okay. I hope,
sure.
And stuff, you are totally legal. So you can go all night, all day.
That's cool. Dan Nelson, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about a bow fishing tournament put on by the Alberta Wildlife Federation taking place this weekend. Registration Saturday, June 16, 10 a.m. to noon at Lake Hattie. One really cool aspect, I think, and maybe this is pretty common for bow. I've done a lot of bow fishing, haven't done a lot of tournaments, But our biggest challenge, we'd probably bow fish more if it was easier to dispose of the fish when we were done. And you guys are going to take care of that with this, right?
Yeah. Actually, we take all of it and stuff. There's been tournaments that we know of that they've tried taking it. And there's places that'll take it and grind it up for turtle bait and all that stuff. And they don't end up showing up. But instead, at ours, we take it all. And either a local person will take it, spread it on something that's going to get PP'd for crops next year, or we just find a hole and dispose them. We got people that come from, we had some people out in North Dakota 2 years that came. We got a couple teams that come from South Wilmer. I mean, by the time you drive up at noon to Hattie, your carp are pretty stinky by the time you're going to get home. So we yeah, like to dispose them for people.
That's cool.
You know, one last step for the people that are, you know, competing. So
no, that's great. I think it's great. So if people want to be a part of it or to find out more about it, just look up Alberta Wildlife Federation on Facebook.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Dan Nelson, I appreciate the time. Good luck with the tournament. We'll see you out there. Sounds like we're going to have a team, and we'll be out there and we'll be part of it this year. So thanks for the invite, okay. And we'll see you out there this weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hope to see a lot of people out.
Coming up, we're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. We're going to talk about those proposed changes. Not everybody's happy about it. We'll talk about what some of the complaints have been. And right now, we'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
The final numbers are back from last season's upland game hunting in North Dakota. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Drought conditions and not as many hunters in the field last fall meant fewer pheasants, sharp-tailed grouse, and Hungarian partridge in the bag, according to statistics compiled by the Game and Fish Department. Last year, more than 58,000 pheasant hunters harvested just under 310,000 roosters, compared to about 76,000 hunters and 500,000 roosters in 2016. Counties with the highest percentage of pheasants taken by resident hunters in 2017 were McLean and Burley. Top counties for non-resident hunters were Hettinger and Bowman. In 2017, North Dakota had more than 13,500 grouse hunters who bagged just under 47,000 sharp-tailed grouse. In 2016, nearly 19,000 hunters took over 65,000 grouse. Top counties for resident grouse hunters were Slope and Walsh. For non-residents, it was Bowman and Hettinger. Last year, nearly 14,000 hunters harvested 33,000 Hungarian partridge. The 2016 tallies were 17,000 hunters harvesting 54,000 huns. Montreal and Ward were the top counties for resident hun hunters, while non-residents took the most birds in Divide and McLean counties. To learn more about hunting, fishing, trapping, conservation, and spending time in North Dakota's great outdoors, log on to the Game and Fish Department website at gf.nd.gov.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. You can download the podcast's app on your iPhone. I don't know, can you do that on other phones? Or is that just an, I think that's just an iPhone thing, but I'm sure there's a way to figure it out. Somebody smarter than me when it comes to technology, you can probably figure that out, but you can find it in the podcasts app and subscribe to the podcast and get, hey, they give you notifications when there's new shows. It's pretty slick. I like it. All right. Each week, of course, we talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. We get a fishing report up there, and we've got a fishing report, and we got some interesting information. There's definitely been some discussion about that big lake up at up in northern Minnesota, so we want to find out just what exactly is going on up there, because I know people from everywhere go up and fish Lake of the Woods. It's one of those lakes that's near and dear to us fishermen in this part of the world. Joe, thanks for being on the show once again.
Absolutely, thank you.
First of all, it's mid-June. It's been kind of warm. It's been kind of stormy. Then it cooled off. It's, you know, nice stable weather, which is what all fishermen want, right, Joe?
Yeah, you know, anglers like stable weather. Walleyes like stable weather.
Right,
you
right.
know, both, right? That's part of the equation. Which, you know, fishing's been really good. I mean, you know, it's Lake of the Woods, and we got millions of walleyes, and that sure helps the cause. You know, it's interesting to watch the trends as we kind of start to head into the warmer waters in the summertime here. We're starting to see some of the summer patterns starting to get more established. Yep, people are still catching walleyes with jigs, absolutely. But we're seeing that the crawler harnesses and even some sunken islands and things are starting to light up a little bit. And that's kind of a summer trend. And fishing's been really, really good. Obviously, a lot of limits with eater fish, and then we're getting a lot of big fish too. They're all kind of just mixed in. And, you know, whether it's the resorts and the charter boats doing it, whether people are bringing their own boats up on the South Shore or, you know, up at the Northwest Angle, they don't really use charter boats as much as they do, you know, more of the pro walleye boats the guides do. And they take you up amongst the islands, oftentimes even into Ontario. So fish has been good. I mean, we're so lucky to have Lake of the Woods as a resource and have the millions of walleyes. It's something biting somewhere all the time. And these guides, I mean, they do this for a living. They're good at honing in on those fish. The fish patterns change. They're networked with other guides to get customers on fish. I mean, it's been good.
It seems like, Joe, particularly in the winter, as more and more anglers fish in the south end, the fish kind of migrate north for whatever reason, fishing pressure, whatever it is, and the anglers follow them north. Do they do that in the summer too?
You know, a little bit. It's a little bit different in the summertime because, you know, you got wave action, so the fish aren't so pressured with. When you're on the ice, you got ice roads and drilling holes and fish houses being moved. I mean, you got a lot of traffic on that ice. And I think what ultimately happens is along that south end of the lake, you know, some of those fish will get pushed out of there just because of all that traffic. You know, when you got that open water and you got wave action and stuff, and there's not nearly as many anglers on the open water as there's on the ice. That's not so much a factor. Now, I do think that those walleyes are really chasing bait. You know, their life right now, spawning's over. So they're food related, and that's what's going on now. And you know what? We do have fish being caught all over the lake. We got charter boats that are going west. We got charter boats that are going east. We got them going north, up to the northwest angle from the south end. You know, up at the northwest angle, I would say probably, you know, 80% of the visitors up there will just fish into Ontario waters because it's literally a stone's throw off the dock, and it opens up another 40 miles of lake of all islands. That's kind of a cool experience.
What would you say? Oh, I'm sorry. Joe, yeah. Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods. What would you say it's the size of the lake contributes to having so many walleyes up there, or is it the forage base, or what? Why is it such a good walleye lake?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a few things. It's certainly the size of the lake. We have over a million acres of water. We have over 65,000 miles of shoreline. Our gene pool for Lake of the Woods, our gene pool of walleye is just incredible. I mean, not only do we have a lot of fish, we have big fish. And that's very important for the sustainability. The other part of that is forage. You know, you get a lot of experts saying, hey, listen, when a lake has a walleye problem, oftentimes we see it's not a walleye problem, it's a forage problem. And, you know, we have so many different things walleyes can feed on. I mean, just to list a few, gosh, we have, you know, of course, the emerald shiners, which is a staple. We have perch. We have a minnow that lives in a deeper water called a perch minnow. We have all sorts of kind of bug hatches that when those bugs hatch out of the mud in the water, they're larval. And those are great food for walleye. We have crayfish, tulibies. I mean, I can go on and on. If one food source is down this year, all the others pick up the slack. So we have that consistency. And spawning. I mean, if people always think the Rainy River for the spawning, and that's one small part of our lake, but, you know, something happens with the Rainy where we get a blast of cold water after those eggs are laid, and those eggs all die. You know, we got 65,000 miles of shoreline, in lots of other places, those fish are spawning. So there's diversity with the spawning, which leads to some kind of a hatch every year, typically, regardless of what the weather is. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things about the lake that way.
So it's interesting. You got all that, and you also have muskies in that water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, muskies are part of Lake of the Woods. And yeah. I know what you're going there with that. The walleyes thrive despite there's muskies in the lake, right?
Well, and so that kind of points to having proper spawning conditions and maybe a proper forage base, a healthy forage base. And maybe when you look at some of these other lakes where they're talking about muskies and walleyes coexisting, if you got proper forage for those species, then obviously they're not going to be an issue coexisting in the same lake. Now, two things you brought up too, Joe, that I really want to talk about, because this is really what I wanted to talk about this week. And there's a big discussion on Facebook about it. You mentioned angling pressure and sustainability, and that those are two key components to the discussion that's going on right now, because there's some proposed changes coming up from the DNR. Tell us again, I know we've talked about it a little bit here on the show, but tell us again what those proposed changes are, Joe.
Yep, for sure. So the DNR has put together a Lake of the Woods input group, a group of stakeholders from all different walks of life. And then we've had a series of meetings, both educating us and also asking us our opinions on things. And based on biological data they have and recommendations they have, and along with our opinions, they put together two proposed changes for the future. One of the changes is with the spring fishery. You know, if you recall, with the Rainy River, the walleye season is open until April 14th on the Rainy River. And the current regulation is that you can keep two walleyes under 19 and a half inches, nothing bigger, and only two. Well, what the proposed change is that that's going to be changed to a catch and release spring walleye fishing season only. And we're going to eliminate keeping those two fish. The reason for that is because when they do their electroshocking up in the spawning areas of the Rainy River, they're noticing that the number of mature male walleyes has dropped. And the reason, of course, it would make sense, the only walleyes people can keep are fish under 19 and a half, and that's typically going to be a mature male walleye. So with the drop of males and that whole spawning mix on the Rainy, they said, you know what, we want to make sure that the spawning conditions are as conducive as possible. Most people go up to the Rainy River to catch big fish. They go up there to get their boat in the water for the first time. They're going up there to have a chance of catching 50 to 100 fish a day. With that being said, you know, they think that for the sustainability of the resource, it'd be best just to say catch and release only in the spring. The second proposed change is, you know, on Lake of the Woods currently, in the winter, it's a combined limit of walleyes and saugers of 8 fish, up to 4 of those can be walleyes. In the summertime, it's a combined limit of 6, up to 4 can be walleyes. What they plan on doing is proposing is dropping that combined limit of 8 in the winter to match what the summer limit is. So it would be the same all year long, which would be a combined limit of up to 6 fish, combined limit of walleyes and saugers, up to 4 of those can be walleyes. And the reason for that change is simply trying to stay ahead of the curve. You know, we noticed that in the last 2 years on the ice on Lake of the Woods, there's been each year 2 million angling hours on the ice, a lot of pressure. And although the sauger population's doing good, it's holding its own, the DNR feels like we'd rather stay ahead of that curve and not be in a reactive situation, but a proactive situation. And we still think that a combined limit of 6 is a healthy limit. And that can certainly be accomplished. So with that being said, those are the two proposed changes, and those are the reasons for it.
Joe Henry, our guest, talking Lake of the Woods here, Sporting Journal Radio. And of course, anytime there's proposed changes to a body of water, such as Lake of the Woods, one of the legendary lakes in the land of 10,000, you're going to have people that are going to question the changes. They might have an issue with it. They might support it. We're hearing from pretty much everybody. And I want to take a quick break here, Joe, but when we come back, I want to talk about what the objections are, what some of the alternatives people are suggesting, just who all has been involved, because some people are thinking that maybe everybody that's involved in these stakeholder meetings they don't necessarily represent everybody that utilizes Lake of the Woods. So I want to find out the truth behind that, just who's been involved, when the general public is going to be able to comment, and just what some of the other discussions that have been taking place are. More with Joe Henry coming up here, talking Lake of the Woods on Sporting Journal Radio. Heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe to our podcasts with the Podcasts app. You can download it right to your iPhone, subscribe to it, so each week when a new show comes out, it gets sent right to your phone. You can listen to it on your phone or send it via Bluetooth. SportingJournalRadio.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We are back, Sporting Journal Radio, heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. You can download the podcast app right on your iPhone and subscribe to it there as well. This is Midwest Radio, home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. We're talking to Joe Henry. We're talking about Lake of the Woods because there's some proposed changes coming up. The DNR, as well as some stakeholders from the region, have discussed some potential changes to prolong the sustainability of Lake of the Woods. It's been getting more and more angling pressure. They've seen a drop in the male walleyes up there. They wanted to do something, be proactive about it, and make sure that there's a long-term sustainability, a viability, because, of course, business and livelihoods depend on that. And, Joe, that was one of the things I know you posted on the Lake of the Woods tourism Facebook page about these proposed changes. And, of course, anytime, like we mentioned earlier, anytime you talk about changes on a lake that there's so much passion about, you're going to have people that are either going to disagree, they're going to, some will support it, but there's definitely going to be some opinions said about it. And you discovered that on your Facebook post the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did. You know, talk about getting a response. You know, we put out just the fact that the DNR is requesting public input on the two proposed changes. And a lot of people are very passionate, like you said. And, you know, one thing I'll say is, you know, I want to clarify one thing is that, you know, when we say a decrease in the male walleye population, you know, specifically, they saw a decrease in the male walleye population in the Rainy River during the spring spawning season.
Okay.
And that's very different than seeing a decrease in male walleye population for the whole lake.
Sure.
So that's why that proposed change was made for the Rainy River. But yeah, so you talk about the passion on Facebook, and I think there's a couple things. First off, people are passionate about Lake of the Woods, and I think some people are very passionate about the DNR, not always in a good way. I mean, I can tell you that recently when the DNR proposed and did, they raised the fishing license in the state of Minnesota for residents by like $3, which hadn't been done in years. Oh my goodness, there was an uproar like you wouldn't have believed. And of course, with we're getting a lot of comments about, you know, about don't screw Lake of the Woods up like other lakes, and I won't name names, but my point is that there's a lot of people that really don't like the DNR as an organization managing the resource. They're anti, and I'm not so sure that that's the comments coming out with so much passion are a true crosscut of the population or not. I don't know that answer, but I'll tell you that to your point, there's a lot of passion out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I understand the DNR makes some decisions. I would not want to work for the DNR. They make decisions that are going to disappoint people every day, but sometimes they feel it's the best decision to make in the long run. And you're never going to keep everybody happy because everybody wants to utilize these resources in different ways. You know, it's like deer hunting. Some guys want a trophy hunt. Some guys want a meat hunt. Some guys want a bow hunt. Some guys want to go. You can't please everybody. But so aside from the DNR situation, let's talk about one of the other complaints was about the stakeholders and just who is involved in the input meetings as they kind of kicked around some ideas. Some people are wondering who is involved with that, Joe.
Well, we had the DNR chose the group, and it was a group of stakeholders from all different walks of life. There was people that, you know, fish Lake of the Woods, that simply are anglers on Lake of the Woods and been fishing it for a long time. There is people from Chambers of Commerce. There's resort owners, myself, Lake of the Woods Tourism. There's county commissioners. There's local business owners that have nothing to do with fishing or anything. I mean, there's a whole myriad of people, and they try to purposely pull together a very mixed group of stakeholders to try to get differing opinions to understand what the opinions are. Now, when the DNR makes these decisions on proposed changes, that they take into effect a lot of things. All the data they have from a biological perspective with angling pressure and test netting, and that goes back years and years. They take into account just everything they can. They want to hear the opinions of different stakeholders. They take all this information and, you know, make their suggestions. And that's why they call them proposed changes, because the DNR has a very set protocol. When they suggest a couple of proposed changes for Lake of the Woods, first they have to go through Commissioner Landwehr to get it approved. Then they have to go and ask for public input like they're doing now. Eventually, they're going to be having a public meeting up in the Lake of the Woods area, as well as I think they have to have one in St. Paul at the Capitol. My understanding is for 90 days, they have to post proposed changes at public accesses around Lake of the Woods. I mean, there's a whole series of things that has to happen before these will actually become regulations. And this is an opportunity for people that if you agree or disagree with these proposed changes, you can chime in. I will tell you that, you know, I was in the meetings, and from my perspective, I'll tell you, you know, people would sometimes, I mean, some of the comments on Facebook were, hey, it's everybody that wants to make a dollar on the angler coming to Lake of the Woods. It's all about money and then the resorts. And I can tell you wholeheartedly from the bottom of my heart that the conversations we had around Lake of the Woods had to do with sustainability of the natural resource. That was key to everybody, because everybody realizes, you know, people are coming up to Lake of the Woods primarily to fish. That's our draw. And without a good, healthy fishery, you know, we don't have so much to pull people up to our area. So I would rather have lower limits and stay ahead of that curve to make sure that our fish population's healthy and have to fight to get tourism up there than having really healthy limits and having a resource that's struggling.
And I think that's an important thing for people to realize too, that it's not all about, I mean, in bottom line is it's a business decision because business is going to benefit with the long-term sustainability of the resource, but it's resource first.
It's resource first. And, you know, I represent, you know, the lodging community, you know, the tourism community of Lake of the Woods. That's a big area. That goes all the way over to Clemenson, east of Bedette on the Rainy River, all the way over to Arneson's Rocky Point, almost to Warroad, all the entire lake and all the way up through the northwest angle. You don't think there's varying opinions within our resort community?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, you know, but you know, I got to tell you, the common theme, regardless of what people's opinions are, the common theme amongst the resort owners was sustainability, because everybody realizes that it has to do with the health of the fishery, and then things can go from there.
So some people thought that maybe not all resorts were aware of some of these potential changes or some of these inputs. Was this something that was open to everybody that's up there, or did the DNR just pick a few people, or how did that work?
So there was an application process that people could submit an application that was put out publicly. And then, you know, different people, if they wanted to be part of this Lake of the Woods input group, they could submit an application. And then the DNR from there chose the group. And I want to say there was like 15 people. So everybody had an option, and they chose a very mixed, diverse group of stakeholders for that reason.
Sure.
So everything was public input. Now, at the meetings we had, you know, we didn't have anybody attend the meetings, but the meetings were My understanding is the public could have attended the meetings and listened, but there was no public comment. But typically nobody else attended. And then now is the opportunity, now that there's two proposed changes on the table, now is the opportunity where both communicating by email or phone calls to Phil Talmadge, the manager of fisheries up at Lake of the Woods, you have an opportunity there to give your opinions, and you also have an opportunity to go to public meetings that they'll have up around the Lake of the Woods area.
So how long is this public? Is it like a public comment or public input? Where can people make their input, and how long does that go for?
Yeah, so you simply look up the press release that the DNR has put out about the Lake of the Woods proposed regulations, or check out the Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page. We have it on there, and you can click on the link. And I'll tell you, that report, when you read that report, Brett, I'm not sure if you read the whole thing. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of information in there that goes back years and years about the test nettings and the populations and angling pressure, the number of angling hours, things like that. Really interesting to read. It's a detailed report. But in that report, then, of course, the proposed changes.
Well, and I'm just looking at it right now, and it starts off talking about commercial fishing. And that was something, we're running out of time now, but that was something I wanted to talk a little bit about with you here on the show, is the commercial fishing history of that lake. And maybe we'll save that for the next couple of weeks here on Sporting Journal Radio. But yeah, so if you go to the Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau Facebook page, you can find a link to that report and get all the information. It looks like public comments will be accepted through Monday, July 11th, and online at the DNR website. You can also go to the Bidet Area Fisheries Office and
just Google it. Google DNR and DNR Lake of the Woods, and I'm sure it'll come up. And you know, for people that aren't aware, you know, we used to have a very strong commercial fishery on Lake of the Woods, and a joint effort by the DNR and resort community bought out the commercial netters on the Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods back in, like, I want to say it was 87 or 89. But so there hasn't been commercial fishing on our lake for that many years. So at least on the Minnesota side, there are some bands up on the Canadian side that still commercial net, but it's small in scale.
I'm surprised that there was commercial fishing that went that long. I thought it ended earlier than that. Looks like 85. The last commercial game fish harvest took place in 1985, according to this report.
85. Okay, sure. I was a little bit, you know, and you know, that was a tough nut to swallow back then. But to give you an example, you know, Arneson's Rocky Point was one of the places that were very, very good commercial fishermen, and they were, you know, multi-generation family in that business. So for them to morph into the quality sports fishing resort they are now, they've done a wonderful job, and they're doing great. But you know, that was quite a change back then. I mean, all they knew was commercial fishing. So for them to have to change their business model, that wasn't easy back in the day.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. But I'll tell you what, I bet the lake noticed a difference when those nets stopped, and makes a big difference when you don't allow commercial fishing on a lake like that.
Well, and you know, you talk to the people that have been around the lake 40, 50 years, and they're going to tell you, the quality of the fishery right now is better than it had been back then.
I bet. Well, you know, that's pretty interesting. I would like to talk to some of those people that have been around the lake for 40, 50 years, Joe.
Oh, I tell you, yeah, exactly. that sounds like a good TV show.
That sounds like something for Prairie Sportsman. We'll have to talk about that. All right. Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods. If people want to find out more about these proposed changes and the report, or if they want to book a trip, I mean, my gosh, go up and go fishing. The lake is better than ever. Go up there and do some fishing this summer, or even maybe start thinking about ice fishing. Where do they go?
Yeah, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Thanks, Joe Henry. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.